Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. With Jess Kelly. This is News Talk.
To Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up this week, we'll hear from afewfuckle.com, Stampify and Sample It, three Irish businesses looking for your support this Christmas. Plus, Seal Rescue Ireland will join me to explain how they're using technology as part of their mission to protect our wildlife. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Twitter @JessKellyNT. But before we jump in today, I do hope you're well and that your Christmas prep is going well. If you're looking for some gift inspiration, you will find our pretty comprehensive gift guide recommendations on The Pat Kenny Show. Just search for Technology on The Pat Kenny Show wherever you get your podcasts and you will find, I think there's three episodes up there now. So far, we've looked at gifts for less than €40, €100 and €200. We're going to continue between now and Christmas, but there is plenty of food for thought there if you are on the hunt for that techie gift idea. If you're looking for something in particular, you can email that email address I mentioned a second ago, techtalk@newstalk.com, or I do weekly Q&A sessions on Instagram. So just search for Jess Kelly NT and I will answer as many of those questions as I can. Now, a number of weeks ago on this program, we had Guaranteed Irish on with a bit of a guide as to how you can go about supporting local Irish businesses this Christmas. And I mentioned a few myself. Scale Bjog was one of them. And the other was afewfuckle. And I'm delighted to have the woman behind afewfuckle on the line now, Nikki Moore. Nikki, you're very welcome to Tech Talk.
Thanks very much for having me, Jess. Great to be on.
So I absolutely love what you guys do. For those who don't know, who haven't stumbled upon your Instagram page, which is how I found you, tell us a little bit about the business.
Okay, well, we do custom apparel. So we kind of started off, I suppose, with the idea of all things Irish and things that I suppose bring back memories of our childhood growing up in Ireland. And it was a little bit of a mixture, I suppose, of things off Gaeilge and through English as well. But it seems to have gone down a route now because there's such a demand, I think, for, I suppose, that, you know, our roots and supporting Irish. So we're doing an awful lot off Gaeilge at the moment. That seems to be where we're headed. But as a primary teacher myself, I kind of have, I suppose, a love for the language and I love putting a little bit of burst of fun into it. So that's why we, I suppose, started it up. And we've been using phrases that remind us of our days in school, growing up, things that our mammies used to say, that type of thing. So basically bringing a bit of fun back into the language again.
Yeah, no, it's great. So the website is actually afewfuckle.com. And when you go on, you see, firstly, there's all the Christmassy bits and they're absolutely gorgeous. The bits that I bought a jumper for myself and a matching one for my niece because we're that kind of family. And they just have the little heart on them and says Grow, which I love. And then there's other ones, you know, people would love the Anwal Cadigum Duggody and Lehris t-shirt and that type of stuff. How long have you been in business and have you always been an online operation?
Well, we've only started, it's about a year now. It actually came up on our Instagram stories this time last year. We were doing our first Christmas market. So we started out about this time last year and it was a great time to start because it was a great gauge, I suppose, of what people wanted and it was great for market research, I guess, at the start. So it's just kind of grown and to be honest, we're grateful and excited as to where it's going. It's really, I suppose, gained a life of its own this year, which is fantastic. So we're really excited as to where it's going. So it's been a year now coming up to the end of this month. So,
and it's great that you've continued to grow, even though a number of people from all different walks of life have struggled in terms of business. I stumbled upon you guys on Instagram. How important are the social media tools for you guys in terms of marketing and getting the word out there?
Hugely important. I'd actually say it's probably the most important tool for us. Without Instagram, we probably wouldn't have got to where we are. I mean, it's where we've got our reach. It's where we've gained our following, and everyone that I suppose comes on board is so loyal. It's just such, and because the community is so small, it seems to be a very small but supportive community, Irish-made businesses that really, really support each other. Mm. So it's not just that it's getting your name out there and I suppose people becoming customers and returning customers within Instagram, but it's also you make such connections and support throughout all the other businesses around. Like, they really, really support each other. It's not a competitive thing at all, which to be honest, I kind of thought it would be at the start, but it's not. It's such a lovely community, and we've made so many friends that have given us so much good advice as well to help us grow. So it has so many advantages, I think.
Yeah, the word community is a nice one to describe it, because you may have this notion that, you know, you guys do t-shirts with Irish prints on them. So if someone's mm-hmm. doing something similar, say on paper rather than a t-shirt, they could be seen as the competition. But from what I can see from afar, it does look like you all sort of urge each other on, and your customers are kind of, you know, intermingled. It's almost a Venn diagram of people who like one will like another, because you seem very similar in terms of your offering, but also your attitudes towards your customers as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. I mean, like, when we started, that was my initial fear, because we were only starting and there were so many businesses out there doing so many amazing things and so much craft out there and makers. You kind of think, how are we supposed to compete with all these? But it's, everybody is so supportive, and as you said, even though there might be some things that are a little bit similar, what we do someone else might be doing through a different media, a different textile, different things like that. The fact that, like, it's just such a family, and everybody would comment and share things, and if you are doing a promotion, you have so many other people that are going to share it and get the word out for you. And it's really like everybody helps each other grow, and it's a lovely place to be, especially this year. That's what we need, really.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about the year that was from your business point of view, because you are the all singing, all dancing front end of the business and the back end of the business. So how, what have the challenges been?
It was a bit scary at the start. It was very daunting when all this happened. I suppose we're both lucky. We my husband and I, we both work as well. He's a chef and I'm a teacher, so we do both have another income. But it was such a new venture. We really wanted it to succeed. And when all this happened at the start, we thought, oh no, you know, we're just going to see where it goes, try our best and just see what happens. But it has just been like the feeling and the general, I suppose, aura of the past couple of months has just been one of support, of community. Everybody, I suppose all the other businesses, all customers, everybody just seems to be rallying around together. It seems that, I don't know, I just feel like this Christmas is more special than any other one. Everyone seems to be so supportive of shopping small, shopping local, really helping all those small businesses out. Mm. And you can really feel it. It's hard to describe, but you can actually just feel the support that everybody has for each other this year.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mentioned a few weeks ago on the program that, you know, I was amazed at the quality and the varied nature of the offering from Irish businesses. Sometimes when you think by Irish, you kind of picture the Aran woolly jumper or something that's a bit traditional or twee. But that's totally not the case. We have some fantastic innovators in this space, in this country, and all you have to do is look for them and they are out there. Talk to me a little bit about the logistics, though, because going from naught to 100, as you've done, plus two full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. How has that been in terms of getting the orders out, fulfilling everything, staying in touch with any queries, that sort of stuff?
It's been a challenge, I suppose, because it's so new to us, so it's been juggling a lot of things. Like we have now 3 children as of this week.
Oh, congratulations.
And one just arrived. Thank you. So it's been a challenge, but it's been really exciting, and it's something that, like we said, we'd kind of give it a go for the year and see how we go, and it's going so well and we love it so much. We're going to put everything into it again, you know, for the foreseeable and to see where it goes. But it's been a challenge, I suppose, to juggle that with your family life and your work life as well. You really, we've had to kind of push time aside to sit down and really structure it, time to answer emails, time to answer your Instagram DMs, things like that. And there's so much time that you have to put in to the social media as well, and keeping up with that, and keeping in touch with all your customers and your all your connections that way, that takes up a good bit of time as well. Mm. But when it's something that you love and you're really passionate about, you find the time, you always do. And you gain so many skills that, I mean, we've learned a lot in the past year that we didn't think that we'd know this time last year, that we didn't think we'd need to know. And it's just from all the people that you meet, and they're amazing what you learn from them, and they're willing to give you all the advice they can, all the guidance they can. It's been a year of learning, but a year that we're really grateful for as well.
Well, as I said, I'm a huge fan of the business.
Thank you.
You'll find the bits up on afewfuckle.com. Nikki, congratulations on the new baby and the
thank
successful
so
business and the other careers as well. And thank you so much for joining us on Tech Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we're going to stick with brilliant ideas. And now Nick DeBeer of sampleit.ie joins me. Nick, you're very welcome to Tech Talk. Tell me a little bit about Sampleit.
Thanks for having me. Great. Sampleit is a new concept, which is basically an at-home sampling concept that we've launched in Ireland, where customers can sign up on our website, telling us a little bit about themselves. And we will then send out a selected sample box based on their preference if we have that available. So it is about, I suppose, engaging with a customer in the comfort of their home and getting them to engage with us around the taste, texture, feedback on products.
So a Sampleit box was sent to the office here over the last number of hours. And inside it, there was a bottle of Jameson Cold Brew. There was Bewley's Coffee, Bewley's Tea, Dunstore Simply Better Relish, 8 bars of dairy milk, and Dunstore Simply Better Wholemeal Crackers. And so the concept is that I just consume, enjoy, and then tell you how much I loved her otherwise.
Absolutely. And this is it. It's a way, you know, because during COVID, it seems one of the big parts of our business had been in-store sampling, you know, where we engage with customers in different retail stores or at events, sampling different products. Obviously, with COVID, that has gone away. And for brands, it is a vital piece to engage with their consumer base to try new products, to get you to test something maybe you wouldn't normally purchase. So it's a way of engaging with customers, I suppose, in these COVID times, and hopefully post them as well, because our ways of shopping have so fundamentally changed.
Well, and, you know, coming up with this concept, it's a brave move in that you are sending content to people's homes under sort of an unwritten agreement that they will do the surveys and fulfill their end of it. Is that something that you're a bit apprehensive about?
Not really. I mean, for us, it's about creating a Sampleit community, people from all walks of life, real consumers, because we often see influencers unboxing different things and think, oh, my God, how wonderful would it be to test or try a product? But for brands, it's obviously really important to get the real consumer out there. And obviously, if you don't engage with us, you would then fall off the customer base. You know, this is we want an engaged group or a community who want to share, who want to give us feedback, and most importantly, who want to try and hopefully love the products that are sent out to them.
Okay, so just so I fully understand, this was your almost bread and butter beforehand, the in-store sampling and that type of thing, and the boxes have just been born out of the COVID crisis.
Yes, our bread and butter is, I suppose, part of the sampling, in-store sampling is part of our business. We do a lot of other field activations and merchandising and, you know, sales. But really for us, it's about customer acquisition and the data part that we do behind it. So obviously missing out on the in-store sampling was a huge part of our business. And it was a way of, I suppose, everybody uses the way pivot and change, but it was a way of sort of adapting to our new world and trying to come up with an innovative way that worked for the consumer, that could put a smile on their face, because obviously it's free for them. And also a smile, hopefully, on the brand's faces as they get feedback, they get new customers to taste and try their products and hopefully continue then to purchase them in their weekly shop going forward.
And in terms of data, when I consume and enjoy my sample at Box and I fill in the information in the survey, it's not going to say that Jess Kelly, who's 31 and lives here, likes these products. It's just that a certain percentage of people liked this bar of chocolate.
That's right, yeah, because obviously our business is heavily ISO accredited, and you know we have worked hugely on all the GDPR regulations. So absolutely not. It's only going to tell us sort of information around age profile, somebody within that age group, a percentage of people thought, you know, the product was too sweet, too salty, or a little bit expensive, any of the normal questions that you'd be asked if you would sampling a product at an event or in an in-store environment.
Okay, great. Because that is one thing that I think people would be interested to know. Since this box arrived into the office, I've become the most popular person in the building. Everyone is socially distanced, but glancing in at my desk and they're like, "Oh, what is this?" And I think that's the one thing, is just ensuring that they get to enjoy it, but data protection and all the rest is as it should be. So that's fantastic to know. And how often will the boxes be sent out if someone signs up for them?
Well, it'll depend. We'll have a schedule for the new year. We're hoping to do a number of boxes in a quarter. It will depend, obviously, on the brands and different launch products that are going out. And not everybody will get a box every single month. So, for example, if you've ticked the profile of healthy living as a choice or, you know, health and fitness, you'll then get the box that is relevant to that category that you've selected. So that way, we're not targeting everybody with a product that they wouldn't be interested in. If you've ticked beauty and we happen to have a beauty box, obviously, we'll be aiming it at those type of consumers that have ticked that.
That's fantastic. And is it a big operation to get all of the samples and fulfill all of the requests?
Yes, it really is. I mean, it's been wonderful because we've done everything ourselves. When you're starting a business like this, you just get stuck in. And, you know, even our first 5,000 boxes that went out as a welcome, we did it in conjunction with one of the brands for Mondelez. And, you know, when you understand the volume of it, it really is quite incredible. But yeah, for next year, we partnered with a wonderful distribution company, and they're going to help us with the fulfillment, because obviously it's right around the country, which is great. You know, so we'll be sending them as far and wide as we possibly can.
Yeah, I was going to ask that because, you know, I would wonder, you know, the information that you would gather for the brands from this would be interesting depending on where in the country that the boxes and the sort of surveys are coming from.
Yes, absolutely. And the wonderful thing was, obviously, we're based in Dublin, but, you know, we do work all around the country. And so far, it's been really interesting. It's a great spread. We're calling it our tribe. We're really at about 15,000 plus on our database. We've got a good, you know, lots of big locations. You can see the densities, obviously, where people are living, but it's a great spread across the country already. And that's wonderful because from a brand perspective, I suppose, if somebody was launching something in the Galway region or in Munster or in Dublin, you know, they can segment that database and send it to the relevant people where their product might be available. So hopefully it will be to the benefit of both.
Fantastic. Well, look, the website is sampleit.ie. I'd say you'll probably have about 100 new signees from the News Talk office alone by the time this call is over. But it is a fantastic idea, and I'm really excited to try and consume all of the bits in the box this month. But best of luck with it, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Coming up next, how Seal Rescue Ireland is using technology to get things done.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Rate and subscribe.
TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address if you want to get in touch, or you'll find me on Twitter at JessKellyNT. We're now going to turn our attention to something entirely different. I'm joined now by Melanie Croke from Seal Rescue Ireland. Melanie, you're very welcome to Tech Talk. This is something that I probably didn't think we'd be talking about here on Tech Talk. But before we jump into the tech side of things, tell me a little bit about Seal Rescue Ireland.
Sure. So Seal Rescue Ireland is a charity organization that is primarily dedicated to the rescue, rehab, and release of sick, injured, and orphaned seals from all across Ireland. In addition to responding to sick, injured, and orphaned seals, we work a lot with proactive conservation. So we do a lot of research, education, community outreach, and now we've gotten more involved in habitat restoration projects. Because with our work with seals, it's become more and more clear that the biggest threats facing seals are environmental. So if we can address those threats and protect their environment, then hopefully that means that's fewer seals that will need to be rescued and come in for rehab.
What is, or do we have a figure on, you know, how many seals are around Ireland?
Yes, we do. So we've got about 8,000 to 10,000 grey seals, and we've got about 5,000 common seals. So common seals, the numbers are actually on a decline. So it's a species of special concern. That means every common seal that we're able to rescue, rehab, and release back into the wild is really critical for the population. So that's really important. Now, gray seals, the numbers are doing a little bit better, but it is important to keep in mind that the current population is still recovering from near extinction in Irish waters. About 100 years ago, there was a lot of hunting going on, and the numbers crashed. In fact, it went down to only about 500 individuals between the UK and Ireland. So because of protection measures, they're now legally protected in Ireland and the EU. So it's illegal to harm or disturb grey seals. And because of that, the numbers are starting to recover, but they do recover very, very slowly. They only have about one pup per year, and about 50% of those pups don't survive their first year. So in the past few decades, we are seeing a higher number compared to before, but it still pales in comparison to the background numbers, which were likely in the hundreds of thousands. And it is important to remember that there's only about 300,000 gray seals left in the world, and that's fewer than African elephants.
Wow, that's terrifying when you hear those numbers and the dramatic decline. And as you said, it's slowly but surely creeping back up, but it would be nice if it was higher quicker. Are there certain parts of the country where they are more sort of prevalent, or is it right around the nation?
Yes, absolutely. So grey seals and common seals, both, they have to come up on land to rest. They spend about half their time on land resting and then half their time out at sea hunting. They can rest out there, but they do need to come on land to rear their young, to nurse, and to molt. So they need protected beaches and coastlines where they can come and just not be disturbed. Unfortunately, there is a lot of coastline that has a lot of traffic. You know, I live in Cork Town, so I'm on the beach all the time, so I love the beach more than anyone. But it is important to remember that the coastlines are vital habitat for some of these animals. So what you'll find is you see clusters of seals in areas where you don't see a lot of people. So that usually is offshore islands like the Blaskets or the Saltees, and in certain little coves where it might be hard to get to. But there are huge amounts of coastlines that are just completely inhospitable to seals. For example, here in Cork Town, I've been here for 3.5 years, and I've only seen one or two seals in these waters, just because there's been a lot of coastal erosion, a lot of sea level rise, and of course, human impact. So there just aren't that many places for them to hang out undisturbed.
You mentioned there about sort of the human impact on our coastlines, on our beaches, on everywhere. Anywhere you go, you can kind of see it. And be that you know, new roadways, new holiday homes, but also when you go to a fairly quiet beach or area, we leave stuff behind us. We can be quite noisy. All of those small things that, you know, an individual can do can really disrupt an ecosystem for something like a seal.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, what we do find is most of the threats facing seals are anthropogenic. So they do come from humans. The biggest ones, you already touched on it. Plastic pollution is a huge, huge problem. Every piece of plastic that's ever been produced is still in existence today. And by the year 2050, there will be more plastic in the ocean than fish. So animals like seals that are opportunistic, which means they don't only eat one type of food, they'll eat kind of whatever they can catch. It's easy to make that mistake. mistake for a floating piece of plastic and a potential food item. So we have had lots of seals that have come in. They have ingested plastic and it can be fatal. Another risk is entanglements. About 40% of the plastic in the ocean is discarded fishing gear. And for seals that are very curious, especially pups, they kind of explore their environment and they'll sort of play and dive around anything they find. They can easily become entangled, and unfortunately is not rare at all to see a healthy, otherwise healthy animal with an entanglement around it. And unfortunately, especially for pups as they grow, that entanglement does not break and it doesn't stretch. So it becomes tighter and tighter and tighter, and it will eventually become fatal. So there's a lot of plastic, especially, you know, Ireland is one of the top producers of plastic waste per capita in the EU. And we're completely surrounded by water. So this is a very real problem here, especially. So we just really do need to be very, very careful and try to reduce the amount of plastics that we're using and be as responsible as possible with discarding it. And of course, doing a beach clean always helps.
Yeah, there are friends of mine who do hill walks and they do beach walks. And there's one person in particular I'm thinking of. And every time she goes, she always brings a bag with her so that she can pick up any rubbish that's lying around and to kind of take it as she goes. And she doesn't sort of do a big spiel about it online or anything like that. She just does it because it irritates her, and it's one act that she can do that kind of counteracts the bad stuff that maybe 10 or 15 people do. So it's a small thing that we do have control over, and we can have an impact on.
Absolutely. And by doing that, people learn from it. You know, it leaves an impression. So I feel the same way. It's just, it's a small thing. It's not going to change the world. But if you're doing it every day and you sort of spread that awareness, hopefully people will see that and they'll sort of think twice before dropping a piece of litter on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something for people to take away. But we are, of course, a tech show. So tell me a little bit about how you guys are using different technological solutions to help you on your mission.
Absolutely. So we have had a good relationship with Salesforce for the past few years. It started with our corporate volunteering program. So we'd have teams from lots of different tech companies up in Dublin that come down to us in Corktown, that spend the day, would give them a full presentation about the work we do, the threats to the marine environment, and then would give them a behind the scenes tour. And then they'd even get to get their hands dirty and help us care for some seals, help with some maintenance projects around the center and things like that. So we had a good number of groups come down and people, you know, the wheels started turning and they were thinking, well, how can we help you guys with the resources we have? So basically Salesforce is a company that has a CRM, or a customer relationship management system. So what we did is we teamed up with them. They had a group of pro bono employees that came in and they helped us develop a CRM for SEALs. So we called it Sealforce. And in this way, we're able to track all of our medical records of all of our seals. We can track feeds, weight gain, medications, everything that we need to know right up until release. And then we have this composite of all of our animals, all of our medical records, and we can pull reports, we can pull data much more efficiently than we ever could before. So it's been a huge improvement to the way we capture data. And we really do hope to be able to share this with other wildlife rescues, because I think that this could potentially revolutionize the way, you know, rescues do their work. We've already put in the work to build this platform and we don't want to keep it to ourselves.
Mm. The notion of using data in a system like that must be so beneficial. Firstly, from your cutting down paperwork or individual Excel files and all that kind of jazz, but also you can probably quickly see any patterns that are emerging. You know, if there is a trend emerging in a certain part of the country, you can react to it much quicker because you're getting the information right in front of you in a very clear format.
Oh, absolutely. And we do pick up on things like that. Sometimes we'll have a lot of seals in a certain area coming in with the same symptoms. So that tells us something. We need to look at the environment there and see what's going on. For instance, if we've got a bunch of seals that have some sort of antibiotic resistance, they might need to go test the waters where we're getting those seals, because this is the same swimming waters that humans use, and it's where humans are getting their fish. There's a lot of overlap in the food sources of seals and fish, or of seals and humans. So that means that they could be an early indicator of something that could have human health impacts.
How often do these things arise? Is this something that you guys are working on and battling against every day, every week, or is it more a seasonal thing?
Well, it is somewhat seasonal because seals have their pups during certain periods of the year. So the common seal, they breed during the summer months. So, of course, we have a huge rise of intakes during that time. And then that sort of slows down around August, and then gray seal pupping season starts. So then we have lots of gray seals coming in. And so we're right in the midst of gray seal pupping season now. We've got about 40 seal pups at the moment and more coming in every day. Unfortunately, the gray seal pupping season coincides with storm season. So it does actually have a huge impact because of climate change, as the severity and frequency of storms increase, that means that's more and more pressure on those young, undeveloped pups. So we are getting more and more intakes each year because of climate change. So if, for instance, Hurricane Ophelia was a good example a few years ago. We had over 300 phone calls the following week after that storm. And the reason for that is when gray seals have their pups, they have to stay up on land for the first 2 to 3 weeks. They have a fluffy white coat. It's called lanugo, and it's not waterproof. So they can't enter the water until they've molted. And so for those first 2 to 3 weeks, their mother will come up on land. She'll nurse her pup, give it nice, fat, rich milk. It'll gain weight really, really quickly, up to 2 kilos a day. And then she'll go off, she'll swim, and then she'll come back for it. Now, if during this really critical period, a storm comes in, then it's going to come above the high tide line, and it could potentially wash that pup off the beach. It could drown. It could become exhausted. It could become injured by getting bashed into rocks, and it could very easily be orphaned prematurely and by being separated from its mother. So that's why storms coinciding with pupping season is such a big problem for seals. So that's kind of just the reality of how this huge issue is impacting, you know, this one specific species. But of course, climate change has huge implications for every species virtually.
Yeah, and I think we are getting more aware of the consequences of our own actions. And I it's nice to see some of the big tech companies becoming more aware of the consequences of their actions. And again, unfortunately, it is moving quite slowly, but hopefully we will get there. Is it possible, and I don't know if you do this already, but do you mark the seals or chip the seals in any way, shape or form so you can see where they are and ensure that you are consistently checking the same one for the stats in your data?
Absolutely. Great question. So unfortunately, we don't have the funding to use GPS trackers on our seals, but what we use is a flipper tag. So it's the same thing that farmers use to tag their cattle. It's just a plastic tag with a unique identification number. And Seal Rescue Ireland tags our seals with a blue tag. So if you can see it from afar, which if it is a healthy seal, hopefully you can't get close enough to read that number. But if you've got a good zoom lens and you see a blue tag, we're always eager to hear that because that means that's one of our seals. And if we can read that tag, then we can look into our Salesforce database, look up that ID number, and we can tell exactly what individual that is, when it was rescued, how long it was in care, what health issues it had in care, and then, of course, when and where it was released. So we can get sort of follow-up data, which is really useful. And we do collaborate and communicate with all the other seal rescues in Europe as well. So if we ever get any of their tags, we'll let them know, and vice versa. And we do get a large number of our seals that do show up in the UK. So it's great to be able to, get updates on the pups that we've released.
Would the GPS, if you managed and if the funding ever came to the fore, would the GPS tags be beneficial? Because there's an Irish company called Dairy Master. They're based down in Tralee and they make wearables for cows. So their thing is called a Moo Monitor. And farmers can put these onto their cows and or their cattle and then identify, you know, how many times they chew their food, how much they lie down versus stand up, all of that type of data. Would that be beneficial to you guys for the seals?
Oh, absolutely. We would love that. So those units that would be used on a seal are about 4,000 euros per pop.
And, wow. That's a lot of money.
Yes. And we release, you know, up to 100 seals so a year. So that's a lot of money. But it's funny you should say that, because UCC did a collaboration with Exploris, which is a seal rescue center in Northern Ireland. And they did recently put GPS trackers on 3 of their seals. And they were able to get really valuable data to see where they went and also how deep they were diving. So they were able to learn basically to see that these seals that were raised in rehabilitation environment where it was a very shallow pool, so they didn't get much practice at diving. But then as they were in the wild, they started diving more and more. And we even saw that UCC shared their data with us. And it turns out that they were diving up to 100 meters shortly after release, which is fantastic. Now, the bad news is that 2 out of those 3 seals that were tagged in Northern Ireland were actually later rescued by Seal Rescue Ireland. One of them, named Baloo, showed up a few months ago, and he still had the GPS tracker on him, and he was very thin and emaciated. So he went through rehabilitation again, and he was nice and healthy, and he's been released again by us, and we hope that he doesn't need to be rescued a third time. But he no longer has the GPS tracker. He just has one of our flipper tags. So we will hopefully not hear back from him. But if we do, we'll be able to inform our counterparts in Exploris. Now, in terms of the other seal, it was actually just yesterday, it was found up in Donegal, and it had a severe lungworm infection. So we brought it in, and unfortunately it passed away shortly after. But it did show that seal had been diving up to 100 meters post-release. So what we're looking to do is actually track where that seal went. And we can see, following how deep and long those dives were to when it sort of stopped diving, that's when we know that it most likely developed some sort of pneumonia or lungworm infection, which prevented it from flourishing and then eventually needing to be rescued again. So we may be able to tell where those water quality issues are that could be affecting the wider seal population just based on that data.
It's so fascinating. And I love hearing these different uses of technology, because sometimes people will say you're either into tech or you're into wildlife. You can't be into both. And that's clearly not the case. There definitely is a way for them to work together and help inform us so that we can then, you know, alter our actions and support and learn from them as well. But it's not just seals that you guys focus on. You are working on a new project with Salesforce Now about trees. Tell me about it.
Yes. So a part of our proactive habitat restoration work is to plant trees, because as you plant trees, it sequesters carbon, which fights climate change. And if you plant native trees along waterways, it actually prevents pollutants and sediment from impacting our waterways and ultimately our marine environment. So by planting trees, you're actually protecting water quality out in the marine environment. So we have just recently partnered with Salesforce to plant 20,000 trees in an effort to fight climate change and promote biodiversity. And we're hoping to develop some sort of program with Salesforce to be able to track the trees we plant, to measure how many of them survive, and also to be able to show long-term impact over time on the ecological services that those trees provide.
This has been so fascinating. I'm very, very grateful for your time. Melanie of Seal Rescue Ireland, thank you so much for joining us here on Tech Talk.
Thank you so much.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Rate and subscribe.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. This week on the show, we are looking at Irish businesses that you can support at Christmas. And my next guest has established a new social enterprise called Stampify. Conor Lean is the man behind it, and he joins me now. Conor, welcome to Tech Talk. Just start by telling us what exactly is Stampify and how does it work?
Sure thing, Jess. Thanks very much for having me. So Stampify is a digital loyalty app for charity. For any of the listeners out there, I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of a loyalty card. They're available in most coffee shops and restaurants, where you go a certain amount of times, you collect stamps with your purchase, and when you complete the card, you get a free coffee or a free meal. So Stampify is quite similar to that in a lot of ways, but there are a few key differences. So the first of those is that we are an app. So instead of being a paper loyalty card, as most of those systems are, we offer our users an app that's free to download and use, and they can collect stamps by just scanning a QR code available at the counter. So we built it really easy to use, as some of our users are actually of the older demographic. So that was something that we did see was very important for us. So that's the first difference. The second one, and probably the most important one, is that as a user of Stampify, when you complete our loyalty card, instead of you getting a free cup of coffee or a free meal, as you might usually with a loyalty system, the business will make a donation on your behalf to charity. So that's where the charity element of the loyalty system we've built comes into play. So with that, we partner with Mary's Meals, who are an international aid charity, and they work in 19 countries across the developing world. So their whole vision is to provide meals to children in their places of education. With that, we're able to work with them and offer our users a way to donate meals completely free of charge for them. So for every stamp that a user collects in a partner business by making a purchase, the business will donate 2 meals to children in the developing world. So you can see there that the impact that a user can have is quite substantial just by going about their lives and ordering a cup of coffee as they usually would. The third element then that is a little bit different from traditional loyalty systems is that Stampify is usable across different partner businesses. So usually with a loyalty system, you just go to the one business again and again to complete the card. With Stampify, we have almost 50 businesses on our app, and you can go to any of those to complete our card. So our card takes 7 stamps to complete. As we said earlier, it's 1 stamp equals 2 meals. So when you complete the card with stamps from any of our partner businesses, they'll donate 14 meals to children in the developing world. So I guess that's us in a nutshell. And the main goal of all of this for us really is to make changing lives as easy as ordering a cup of coffee for our users.
It does sound like an absolute no-brainer when it comes to, you know, why would you use this? Why should you use this? And so on. In terms of the setup, is there much heavy lifting on your behalf in terms of identifying the businesses that it will work with and then recruiting the customers and so on?
So there was at the start, definitely. So we launched the paper card back in October of 2018, so over 2 years now. And at the start, definitely, yeah, it was tough to actually get businesses on board because it was very much a new concept, something that they hadn't really seen before and probably something they weren't sure would actually work. And the same was true of users as well. But I guess we were lucky insofar as we were able to get a few to initially test it. We got it off the ground. And since then, it's been a bit of a snowball effect. So the more businesses we're getting on board, the more people who become familiar with it and use it. And we do get this kind of nice spiraling effect. Obviously, COVID has impacted us in that in some regard, the same with most other businesses, including all of those we partner with. But yeah, I guess at the moment we are lucky insofar as there is quite good brand awareness around our app. And we do have a really solid base of partners. With regards to getting new ones, we do find that once we actually get talking to businesses, as you said earlier on, they really do say to themselves, God, why don't we offer our customers this option? A lot of the times it is just actually getting in front of the businesses and being able to talk to them. That's the main obstacle for us.
From the consumer's point of view, so if I download the app on my phone right now, what do I need to do and how much of my information do I need to put in to be able to contribute?
Yeah, so it's really, really straightforward. And I guess as said earlier, some of our users are the older demographic, so we made it that way on purpose. So to sign up, it's really easy. We just get your name and an email address. We don't take any other information like that. And then to use the app, all you do is you open it up. It will default onto the actual loyalty card itself to show you how many stamps you have. If you are in a partner business, you just hit scan QR code and point your camera at the QR code to collect a stamp. If you're not in a partner business but want to know which ones are nearby, we have a locations tab which will filter all of our partner businesses by the location nearest to you, so you can see where you could use Stampify. So it is really a basic enough app. We did have ideas to build in different features and functionality that we might loop back to further down the line. But for the sake of the app at the moment, we said to ourselves, look, let's just keep it simple. Let's make it work for our users and let's give them a fantastic experience.
Yeah, I am. As we speak, I am downloading it onto my phone and I'm going to set it up right now because I think it's just a brilliant concept. I really like the idea of something so simple having that type of impact that you spoke about at the top. You mentioned there about sort of recruiting new businesses to come on board and to work with you. If a business is listening to this now, What would you say to them, and how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, definitely. So from our point of view, we'd love to chat with any businesses who might be interested, even in only learning a little bit more about how we work. Our goal at the moment is just to try and grow as many businesses as possible, because as I said, the more businesses we have, the more people using our apps, and then ultimately the more meals we can donate to help change lives. So for businesses listening, I guess from strictly a business point of view, we do offer a few different benefits. So Stampify is a really good way to win new customers. When our users see new locations being added onto the app, they have new coffee shops and new restaurants to go to and try out because they're Stampify partners. For the businesses as well and their existing customers, we find it's a really good way to impress them by actually supporting causes they care about, and as a result, ensure that they keep on coming back. A lot of our businesses that we do partner with do have their own loyalty systems, and I'd imagine some businesses out there that might be listening do as well. So for those businesses, we actually offer a way to increase revenue, because with Stampify, the businesses end up giving out less free coffee or less free meals. So the user actually sacrificing that loyalty reward to make the donation. So with that, it actually makes economic sense to use Stampify, because you give out less free loyalty rewards. So I guess that's from just the business point of view, but probably the one that's most important for us is the actual charity element as well, and the fact that we offer businesses a way to change lives and support children in both, I guess, reducing hunger, but also encouraging education. So for any businesses who do want to support charity, like mentioned, we offer a really quick and easy way to do that, and one that their customers ultimately love using as well.
The one thing I found with sort of people our age and younger is that they are very much into the notion of giving back. And this is something that's so easy to do. And as you were talking there, I was scanning through the businesses that are, so I'm obviously in the New Stock studio at the moment, and the businesses that are in my locality, and the list goes on and on and on. And what I love, as you said, there is some of them are businesses I haven't heard of before.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I'm intrigued now to go down and discover those businesses. I think it's a fantastic idea. And what I also like is on the sort of home screen of the app, you can actually see how many total meals you've donated as well. So you kind of get that feel good factor. And all you have to do is just scan a QR code when you're in a store. So I think it is a brilliant idea. The app again is called Stampify. You can find it on both iOS and Android. Connor, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me, Jess. Really appreciate it.
And that is all we have time for this week. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back in full up on newstalk.com. But don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the Newstalk app in iTunes, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. John Fardy's up next here on Newstalk. I'll chat to you next week.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.